Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We might not have a 2020 World Series champ if we don't hop to it. There is a sense of urgency with Major League Baseball. Both sides have recognized that this week they really need to get a deal done if they're going to start baseball by the end of June, more likely the early portion of July. And remember, they were always targeting July 1st to July 4th weekend. It's a Saturday, the holiday. And so if they don't get something done this week, then we're in no man's land with baseball as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. We're asking you on this edition of the show, which we always call it our Twizzler Tuesday question as we say farewell to a Monday and head into a Tuesday. What is the best thing that has happened to you in 2020 now that we're 5 weeks in? I know it's sometimes hard to find those positives, but by focusing on them, and I think by focusing on the things that I'm thankful for, it reminds me that all hope is not lost. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. You can find me on Twitter, ALAW Radio, also on our Facebook page. And you're already blowing up our Facebook page and sending us lots of tweets. The best thing to happen to you in 2020, because I know it encourages other people. When you say, my wife is free of breast cancer, my dad is now cancer-free, and you share some of your other positives. And we're supposed to laugh with those who laugh and celebrate with those who celebrate, but also mourn with those who mourn. And on that note, a lot of people mourning the death of Hall of Fame basketball coach Jerry Sloan in the last couple weeks. And that includes our guest Thurl Bailey, who is a longtime NBA forward and spent time with the Utah Jazz in Salt Lake City playing for the great Jerry Sloan. I had a chance to catch up with Thurl in the last couple of days, and I know he's a great he's a great talker because he does Utah Jazz pre and post, but also I knew that it would be something he'd want to do, to talk about his former coach. So I asked him what was on his mind and what were his emotions when he heard of Coach Sloan's passing.
Well, I'm going to go back, because when he came out and announced that he had the form of Alzheimer's and Lewy dementia, I think my emotions then were even stronger than actually when he passed. And I don't say that, you know, tongue-in-cheekly. I say it because I didn't know a lot about Lewy dementia and Alzheimer's, except for, you know, some people that I knew that had gone through it. But if you know Coach Sloan, if you know his history, you know his aura, his legend, it's about toughness, right? It's about fighting every single night through whatever it jumps in front of you. And so that was devastating news to me, because a little I did know about the disease, I knew that it kind of it ate people away, right? And it made them, their body kind of a shell, and you were kind of imprisoned in that. And I just did not, I hated to know that he was going to go through that. So I would visit him once or twice a month, and he'd have some really good days. In the last 3 or 4 months, he'd have some really good days. So, you know, part of me knew that it was going to get worse, and I think everybody knew that. And even though you try to prepare for what you feel like you know is coming, it's just hard to lose somebody like Coach Sloan. It's hard to know that he's not here anymore. So it was tough. You know, part of it for me was, okay, now he's not trapped in that body anymore.
Right.
And so that's the stand I took.
I didn't realize that you had spent time with him recently. What did those visits mean to you?
It meant a lot to me because I think he had some really good days where he remembered some things that the part of the journey we had back in the day. And even though he may have only stayed on that journey for 10, 12 seconds, and then, you know, we lose him again, and then he'd come back and he called my name and he'd talk about what kind of player I was. And
aww.
I think each time it was a little different, right? And so all those meetings ended with, "I love you, coach." And so, you know, it was really good to be with him during that time as well, because I felt like not only did he need it, but I needed it as well, just as one of his former players. And the other guys would go visit him as well. John would come into town, Stockton and Carl and Carl Malone and other players that played for him and staff. And so, you know, it's as tough as it was, I think we felt better about it because it wasn't something that was suddenly for us. But he had some really good days, and we had some good memories before he didn't have any of those anymore.
Coach Sloan was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009, and he spent 23 years of his coaching career with the Utah Jazz, which was an eternity at the time that he was doing that. And I remember seeing a crazy stat that talked about how, I think it was 245 coaching changes happened over the time that he was the head coach of Utah. What gave him staying power in Salt Lake City with the Jazz franchise?
Well, I think the staying power came within his resolve to give his all and do his best with the team that he had. And a lot of that comes with trust, right? The organization trusting in him, because that just doesn't happen anymore. This is an impatient league. And I mean, heck, even coaches who have won and had winning seasons are gone the next year.
Right.
So a lot of that is about the Millers, starting from Larry, trusting Coach Sloan and trusting the team to buy into what he was teaching us. And so those tough Jerry Sloan teams that were built from his personality made a mark in the league, in the small market, as people call it. So, you know, the organization had enough trust in him to say, okay, we need to get past, you know, we need to get to the playoffs. And Coach Sloan proved that he could do that. We need to get to the finals. We need to have a chance to win a ring. And he did that twice in a row, you know, had it not been for Michael Jordan and those Bulls.
Right.
And you probably would have had a couple, but trust goes with that. Just dedication to his job and knowing that every single day you give it all and good things are going to happen.
Thurl Bailey was a longtime forward in the NBA, played for Coach Jerry Sloan in Utah in the early part of his career for a lot of years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the two trips to the finals, and the world kind of got reintroduced, or introduced as it were, depending on your perspective, to those trips by the Utah Jazz in the late 90s as part of the Last Dance. So it was kind of neat to see Coach Sloan on the sidelines in those series and to take that walk down memory lane. Did you have a chance to watch it and see him and remember those Utah Jazz teams?
Absolutely. And I wasn't on the Jazz for those 2 years. I had been traded, and I came back after that championship run that they had for a last year. But I still felt a part of it. I mean, they have a saying here, once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man, regardless
awesome.
Of wherever you go. And so I was in the stands. You know, my season was done wherever I was, and I was still a part of that Jazz family, and I would watch those games. And listen, I knew Michael well. I had to go against him in college. I actually showed him around when he came to visit NC State.
Wow.
He was trying to go to school. So, you know, that connection started early. But listen, that Jazz, those two Jazz runs to the finals were about the Jazz not being fancy. It was about being tough, because anybody who ever followed the Jazz, who ever played against the Jazz, knew what plays they were going to run. They knew it. Jerry would make a C with his hand, and that meant a pick and roll with Karl Malone and John Stockton. Didn't matter whether you knew it or not, you couldn't stop it. And so it was the best of fundamental basketball against the greatest player who ever played, and a team that a cast of characters that we saw in the Last Dance that just was able to be under another great coach and Phil Jackson. So that was an amazing series. I think the Jazz really collected a lot of fans as well along the way, just by the way they played and the toughness they had in Jerry Sloan.
Gosh, it was so much fun for me because I really grew up on the NBA in the late 80s and 90s, and it was so much fun to see some of those highlights again, but also to see the interviews with John Stockton because, you know, I haven't seen a lot of him in the day since he's retired, and so it was kind of fun since he was always one of my favorites. I love, too, that there was the perspective of guys who were right in the mix. So as you talk about, were in the stands, but I mean, just that whole documentary, you know, what appealed to you about it?
Well, I thought it was really good from the perspective. Listen, everybody's interested in Michael Jordan's perspective on things. When you're the greatest at something, everyone wants your perspective. Now they don't have to believe it all, right? I mean, they don't have to, but it's the perspective that it came from that you wanted. You don't want to hear it secondhand. You want to hear from the greatest and how he approached it. Now, his teammates may have disagreed with some of the things, but it was about – there was no question it was Mike's team. And Mike was the one, along with being coached by Phil Jackson, Mike was the one who would take them into battle. And so it was good to get a peek inside of that from his perspective. And the way he felt about other players, from Isaiah Thomas to you know, whoever it was, you take it and you assimilate it, and you say, "Nah, that couldn't have happened." Oh, wow, you know, that's why he's the greatest right there, because he didn't take any junk from anybody.
Longtime NBA forward Thurl Bailey with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I sometimes will say this phrase on my show about how a team never starts the season ready to win a title. There's a process there, and you have to kind of go through the fire. When you see everything the Bulls went through and compare that to your own career and knowing what the Jazz went through to get to the playoffs, is that true? Does every team have to go through some adversity to learn how to be a winner, even if it's so dramatic?
Yeah, not every team, every person. I think there's no success without going through adversity. And that's what as a speaker, that's what you teach. It doesn't matter what arena you're in. You don't really have a great story if everything's been handed to you and you expect to do it. And you don't go through some adversity. I mean, we just talked about The Last Dance and the adversity Michael went through when he first got to Chicago. They had to build a team around him. You know, his dad dies and, you know, he steps away from it. Every person on that team has their own version of adversity that they've gone through. So it's a matter of how long that is, right? It's a matter of how long the battle is you have to go through to get to that achievement. And some never get to it, the pinnacle of it. But I think if you go through that adversity and you learn from it, you can say when you walk away that I gave it my all. Fell a little bit short. But I gave it my all. Somebody better beat us that night. And now I'm going to move on, and I'm going to put that same effort as a part of this next journey. So, yeah, I mean, I think every team has to think about the ultimate goal. You can't go into a season saying, okay, we just want to win 50 games. that might be an immediate goal, but the ultimate goal is to finally build something that can – win your championship. That's what we did at NC State with Coach Valvano. That's how we thought. That's how he taught us the thought. We had some tough times. But in the end, were we the best team every single night? No. I mean, but when it was done, the stars lined up and what we had, the adversity we had gone through paid off and we got the reward for it.
Thurl, I didn't even think about that, being at NC State when
how can you not think about that?
Well, but I just wasn't putting the dates together. So you played not only for Coach Valvano, who's known for his incredible inspiration as he was battling cancer, and I had the great honor to work with his brother at my previous network, and so I've heard so many great stories. And then Coach Sloan as well, both coaches known for their character and their toughness and their fight and their ability to inspire. Man, that's amazing that you got to learn from both of those men.
Yeah, a lot of players don't get to be that fortunate. I was. I think the thing about Coach B was he didn't recruit me. He wasn't my first coach at NC State. A guy named Norm Sloan recruited me, and I played for him for a year. He left, and they brought some short Italian guy in that we didn't know anything about. So we weren't even ready to listen to him. We were like, we want to leave, we want to transfer. And he sold us on this dream of his about winning the national championship. And he made it, he packaged it so nice that you couldn't turn it down. You know, you at least didn't want to leave and miss it if it was going to be like he made it sound. And so we all stayed and we bought into it. And, you know, the story is that we took a tough journey and beat probably one of the best teams in college basketball ever in High Slamma Jamma, Kim Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and we're national champions. So, yeah, I mean, it was a beautiful journey, and that's something that will go down in history, I think. Not trying to be biased, but one of the greatest wins, and not just college basketball, but in sports.
Mm. Well, that's an amazing perspective. And Thurl Bailey has a podcast. It's called Thurl Talk, and has a chance to talk to various. It's not all sports, right? I've seen some of your guests from other walks of life, but so thoughtful. Are you enjoying it? Are you having fun doing the podcast, even this spring, which is so upside down?
I'm having a blast. And today is the interview of all interviews for me. I'm on my way now to record the episode for next week. And my first introduction to basketball was sitting down with my dad watching a black and white Zenith TV set. I didn't know anything about basketball, but I looked at one guy that was playing. I knew he was the best player on the court. He had some cool short shorts on and the biggest afro I'd ever seen in my life. And I asked my dad who he was. He said, "Dr. J, son." And
whoa.
I said, "Dad, doctors can play pro ball." I didn't know that. And so that's when I learned about Dr. J. And he's the reason I got a passion for basketball. Now I get to interview him, read his book. And if you ever get a chance to get Dr. J's first book, it's his autobiography. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's a tell-all. He talks about his journey from childhood to success. And I'm on my way to spend some time with him right now.
Wow, I cannot wait to hear that podcast. That's going to be a must listen when you finally post it. So before I let you go, Thurl, you also work with the Jazz pre and post game. And so they would be in the playoffs right now. And they'd worked really hard to get to this point. And I know we've seen this return to play plan from the NHL. Is there a concept or a plan that makes sense, do you think, for the NBA?
Anybody outside the NBA doesn't really know that. And I'm not even sure the NBA really knows the perfect scenario. What I do know is I think they've handled it well from beginning to now. You know, I was in Oklahoma City when they shut the game down and quarantined all of us for that broadcast. And that was the domino that started to fall in sports for the most part. But I know the NBA has had several committees working on several scenarios based on where we are with coronavirus. And so there's a lot of money being lost, not just in the NBA, but just around our country and in different arenas. But, you know, I think the best, if they want to finish the season now, I think the idea has come out about maybe having some play-in games for teams who are kind of on the bubble, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then having one location where teams can battle it out to finish the season. So I think it sounds good. Everybody, you can't please everybody, Amy, you know that. So,
right.
You know, you get Damian Lillard saying some things, and I understand it. I get it, and I don't disagree with it. But somebody's going to be unhappy with whatever the final decision is. But once that's made, we go with it. We continue the season.
Thurl, it's great to catch up with you for a couple of minutes. I'm glad that we could fit it into your schedule. And you can find him on Twitter at Big T Bailey, and then the link to his podcast and most recently his thoughts on his longtime coach, Jerry Sloan. Thank you for your perspective and your thoughtfulness, and we look forward to catching up with you again, Thurl.
Thank you, Amy. Always great talking to you. Great job.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.